Today's daf is Erev and Daf Lamed Beis, and we are at the Mishnah, 15 lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Sara Aliza, Ovadia ben Miriam Leah, Rechama bas Golda Blima, and Avram Nachman ben Shena Rachel. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilu Nishmas Avram ben Yibadu L'chaim Toivim Remoshe Chaim. So we're continuing to discuss halachos related to Erev Techumen. Zok de Mishnah Hasheleach Eruvai Biyad Chereshoy Tevikaton. If somebody makes a shliach to plant an Erev Techumen on his behalf, and the shliach that he sent was either a cheresh, a shoita, or a katan, what do they have in common? They're all considered in halacha as not having proper das in order to effectuate a chalois. Or the person sent a shliach that was a gadol, but he's someone that's not moida. He doesn't really accept all the laws of erev. The halacha is einoy erev. All the aforementioned people would not be good shluchim to be able to make an erev techumim. What would be if somebody sends his erev with either a cheresh, a shoita, a katan, or someone that's not moida be'erev? However, he had another shliach, and that other shliach's job was to take the erev from the cheresh, shoita, v'katan. Then the halach is areza erev. Meaning, if the cheresh, shoita, v'katan, or the person that's not moida be'erev, is physically going to have to plant the erev, then it's not okay. If he just has to take it from point A to point B, but point B is not the final destination, someone's going to meet him at point B, and he's going to now take it to its final destination, in that case, it's going to be okay. So the basic halacha of the Mishnah is that you cannot make a cheresh, shoita, katan, or misha einu moida be'erev as a shliach to go make your erev on your behalf. Says the Gemara, if a katan, is that true that a katan's not allowed to make an erev? Amar Rav Huna said, katan goyves for erev, a katan is allowed to go and knock on people's doors to collect money or food to contribute to the mazon shtei sudais for an erev. It's a stira. The Mishnah says hashaleach eruvei biyad katan is not okay. Rav Huna and Amora said katan goyves a erev, and the kasha of course is that Rav Huna and Amora is not allowed to argue with the Mishnah. Zok the Gemara like kasha kan be ruvei techumen kan be ruvei chatzeris. There's erevin and there's erevin. Rav Huna's halacha of katan goyves a erev was referring to eruvei chatzeris. The Mishnah that says hashaleach eruvei biyad cheres shoyte v'katan, where it's eno erev, is referring to Erev Techumen. So what's the difference between Eruvei Chatzeres and Eruvei Techumen? So Pashit, the difference is that when you make an Erev Techumen, what are you essentially doing? You're being Koina Shvisa. That was the Lashon of Chazal. What you're doing is you're acquiring a residence. You're saying that I don't live in my house, this Shabbos, but rather I live where my Erev is. I live where my Mazon Shtei Sudois is. Meaning when you put the Mazon Shtei Sudois down on the ground, what you're essentially doing is you're being koina that piece of property for the purposes of Erevin. Being that you're making a kinyan, a cheresh, a shoita, and a katan are excluded from the ability to ever make a kinyan. Whereas by Eruvei Chatzeres, what are you doing? If the katan is knocking on people's doors and he's collecting the mazon shtei sudais, there's no kinyan taking place. He's just the shikyingle, pun intended. That's what he's doing. He just has to go and collect a few zlotas, a few prutas, a few shekels from some people. All he's doing is collecting the money. In terms of the chalois, he's not doing any chalois. The chalois is going to happen when you're going to purchase the food. Rashi's lashon is, in fact, the chalois is going to happen b'memela. But there's a fundamental difference between what happens when the katan goes and he plants the erev versus when the katan goes and he collects the money. In one case, there's a kinyan taking place. That's why the katan is excluded. In the other case, there is no kinyan taking place. Any chalois that's going to happen is going to happen b'memela. All he's doing is knocking on people's doors and collecting the money. That's something that even a katan would be allowed to do. The Mishnah said that a cheresh shoytev a katan cannot make an erev techumen. Additionally, someone that ain't a moida be'erev, oy biyad misha ain't a moida be'erev. So, the Gemara, man, who is that? I'm Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said kutai. It's referring to the kutim. Now we know who the kutim were. The kutim were a group of people that were planted in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael after the Aseres Hashvatim was sent into Galus. So the king of Asher, who had sent the Aseres Hashvatim into Galus, didn't want to have such a large vacancy in the land. So what he did was he took people from a bunch of different medinas and he brought them to the northern part of Eretz Yisrael. One of the medinas that those people came from was a land called Kuta. And because the people from Kuta were Kutim, and they were one of the prominent members and nationalities that ultimately settled in the part of Eretz Yisrael, which had been previously occupied by the Aseres HaShvatim. That entire Chevra, the entire group, all became known as the Kutim, even though they technically weren't all Kutim. But they all became known as the Kutim. Now, throughout Shas, there was a machlekes between the Tanam, whether the Kutim were treated as Geri Yemes, or whether the Kutim were treated as Geri Arayas with an Aleph. The rest of the story is not for today. It's just literally one line in the Gemara. But the rest of the story is that these Kutim had ultimately converted to Judaism. And it was a very controversial conversion. So much so that there were Tanon that felt that they were real Gerim, Geri Yemes, and there were Tanon that held that they weren't real Gerim. They were Geri Arayas. The Gemara says in Masechta Zechun Daf Hamad Aleph that many, many years later in the times of the Amoraim, the Nimnu Vegamru, that even if we thought in the past that they were Geri Emes, but Mikanu Lahaba, moving forward, we're going to definitely treat them as Geri Arayas. And the truth is, every time you see Kutim and Chas, you always have to ask yourself, are we going according to the Mandama that holds Kutim Geri Emes? Or are we going according to the Mandama that holds Kutim Geri Arayas? Meaning, are these Kutim Yidin or are they not Yidin? Additionally, you have to ask yourself, is this Gemara going before the Gemara in Chulin Daf Hei, or is this Sugya going after Chulin Daf Hei? But as relates to Rav Huna's one line, this has nothing to do with those Sugyas. Because what Rav Chizda was saying was something else, and what the Mishnah is saying is something else, is that any person that's not Moed Be'erev, he doesn't accept the laws of Erevin upon himself, he is disqualified from being able to be the one that's actually going to effectuate the Erev. And the Kutim, whether they were Geri Yemes or Geri Arad, whether this is before that Gemara and Chulin or after that Gemara and Chulin. But the bottom line is they weren't Moed Be'erev. There were certain halachas that didn't accept. And this is one of them, and it's for that reason they would be disqualified. So the bottom line is, Hashaleach Eruvei Biad Chereshoit V'Katan Enei Erev. Hashaleach Eruvei Biad Misha Enei Moed Be'erev is also Enei Erev. Chereshoit V'Katan is because they're not B'nei Das. They don't have the ability to make the Kenyan. And Enei Moed Be'erev, that's more of a halacha that if you're not Moed Be'erev, you can't have any shaykhs to the Erev. If, however, you had a Chereshoit V'Katan, just take it part of the way. You had the Misha Einu Moed Be'erev, only take it part of the way. But you have somebody else meeting him and he's going to finish the job. So in that case, it's going to be okay. For why? Maybe be concerned he's not going to end up bringing it to him. Meaning, the Chereshoit V'Katan. If they're not Bnei Das and we don't trust them that they can do what needs to be done, so why do we even trust them to do this much? So the Gemara could Amar Rav Chizda, we could tell to something Rav Chizda said. But Oymed V'royeyu, he said regarding something else. We'll see what that something else is in a moment. But regarding a similar discussion Rav Chizda made in Akimta, the Akimta was, you could always say, it's talking about where the Meshaleach was watching. Here too, Hashaleach Eruvei Biad Chereshoit V'Katan, where we're saying it's okay as long as somebody else is going to take it from him and he's going to relay it until the finish line. That's good, but Oymed V'Royeyu. Rav Chizda made the Akimta there. We can apply Rav Chizda over here. Why are you not concerned that maybe that other person isn't going to do his job? Meaning, just because you appointed him as a shliach, does that mean for sure he's going to do his job? So the Gemara says we have an answer for this too. We can apply something that a different Amora said, not Rav Chizda, but could the Amor Rav Yechiel. There's a lot of Rav Yechiel in Masechtas Erevin, by the way. Rav Yechiel said Chazok Shliach Ha'isa Shlichusai. He said again regarding a different situation, that there's a chazaka that a shliach always does what he's asked to do. Hachanami chazaka shliach oisa shlichusai. So you want to know why this works? Because from the Chereshoit V'Katan perspective, will make the Akimta Rav Chizda made. But Oymed V'Royeyu, that's what the Mishnah is talking about. And once he relays it over to the other person, chazaka shliach oisa shlichusai, that's pshat in the sefer. That's why that's okay. So where did Rav Chizda and Rav Yechiel say this halacha? Again, something very simple. If somebody put an erev on an elephant, and he told the elephant, go, you go bring the Erev. Or the kai, if you gave it to a monkey. The halichai, the halacha is, ain't the Erev. Because a pill and a koif, like a chereshoit of a katan, or misha ain't a moed be'erev, don't have the ability to have the proper das, obviously, to be koine shvisa, to make an erev tchuvim. I'm a lachel kabli menu. If, however, the person told someone that I'm going to put it on a pill and a koif, and I want you to take it from the pill, take it from the koif, and go plant it where I want the erev to be, then I raise the erev. Fake the gemara. Vidil molay mamtile. How could you trust that the pill and the koif are going to do their job? I'm Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda made daikim to buy me veraye. Vidil molay mekabele mina. How do you know this person is going to end up doing what he needs to do? I'm Rabbi Chiel again. Chazaka, shliach, oisa, shlich, usai. So the Gemara now is going to digress from here until the majority of the rest of the daf. And the Gemara is going to discuss this line. It's Rabbi Chiel's memra in Erev and Daf Lamed Aleph. Amar Rav Yechiel, Chazaka Shliach Oysa Shlichusa. What's the context? And then we'll apply it to the broader discussion. The context over here is where somebody is making a shliach to make an Erev Tchumen on his behalf. He's not making the Erev Tchumen by himself, he's making a shliach. Now this Yid really has no way of knowing whether or not the shliach is doing what he's supposed to do. Yet, he's going to wake up Shabbos morning, he's going to put on his walking shoes, and he's going to go to a Beis Ovel, to the Beis Mishta, or wherever it is that he wants to go using his Erev Tchumen. But he's doing it under the assumption that the shliach did what he was asked to do. And the Gemara asked the Kasha, Mechitesi, how do you have a right to do that? You're trusting the Chereshayt of a Katan that he's going to give it to Pliny, who's going to put it where it needs to go. You're trusting the pill and the kaif, he's going to give it to Pliny, who's going to take it to where he needs to go. Oh, so the first, that's half of it, the Gemara said. It's talk about Ba'omid V'Rayel. But as it relates to once it gets into the hand of a Gadol who believes in the laws of Erev, at that point you're good, you can go home. Because Chazaka Shliach Oysa Shliachus, Zok the Gemara, Amr Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, B'shel Torah, when it comes to Dine Da'iraisa, Ein Chazaka Shliach Oysa Shliachus. There's no such Chazaka called Shliach Oysa Shliachus. B'shel Soifrim, when it comes to Dine Da'rabbanon, Chazaka Shliach Oysa Shliachus. That's when you have this sort of Sheishas, Amr Rav Sheishas said, Echad Zeva Echad Zeva. It doesn't matter if it's a Da'iraisa Da'rabbanon. Chazaka Shliach Oysa Shliachus. Now, before we go weiter, all the Rishonim speak out in their nusach that the truth is, there's a Gemara that's mentioned in many places in Shas. It's in Nazar Daf Yud Gimel, it's in Gittin Daf Samich Dalet, Vishar Mekoyimus. Rav Yitzchok said, Oymel L'shlucha, if somebody tells a shliach, Tzei V'kadosh L'isha Stam, I want you to go marry, be Mekadosh and Isha on my behalf. Doesn't tell him who. Tzei V'kadosh L'isha Stam, Umeis, Shlucha, and then the shliach dies, so that loch is also b'chol na'ashem sheba'olam. This mishalech is not going to marry anybody. Why? Because chazaka shliach oisa shlichusa. Because there's a chazaka that a shliach oisa shlichusa. So we're assuming that this shliach probably did his job. He probably acted as a shliach, ish mekadosh boi b'shluchoi, and was mekadosh and isha on behalf of the mishalech. The problem is the mishalech has no idea who that woman is. As a result, any woman that he may want to marry in the future might be her sister, might be her daughter, might be his shvega. He has no idea who she is. So for that reason, the halacha is chazaka shliach oisa shlichusa. So ha'omer l'shluchoi tzei v'kadosh li'isha stam umeis shluchoi Aser b'chol hanashim sheba oilam. Because chazaka shliach oisa shlichusa. And this is a halacha revacha b'Yisrael. This is something that's mentioned in many places in Shas, and there's Rishonim and Achronim and Raid associated with this halacha. So at first glance, Fregin the Rishonim, I don't understand this machloikis from Nachman Rav Sheishas. All of a sudden, tucked away, Erev and Aflam and Beis, we have a machloikis on Meira. Whether you say chazaka shliach oisa shlichusa, or you don't say chazaka shliach oisa shlichusa. Rav Nachman said, by Dairaisis, there's no chazaka shliach oisa shlichusa. It's only by Dirabon. Rav Sheishas says no. Even by Dairaisas, you say Chazaka Shliach. What do you mean? This is a question of a Dairaisa. That's what Rav Yitzchak was referring to. Ha'imel Shluchay Tzei V'Kadosh Li'isha Kedushin is a din Dairaisa. It involves Chayvei Krisis. It involves Mamzeres. So in Emel, it's a din Dairaisa. And still, you see Chazaka Shliach Oisa Shliach Usay. So the Rishonim say you have to say that Avada the Gemara knows Chazaka Shliach Oisa Shliach Usay. However, maybe that's only Lachumra. Maybe not Lakula. In that Gemara, where we're machmir on the person and we say you have to assume chazaka shliach oisa shlichusa, and as a result any person that you're going to marry might be an erva to you. Oh, but then you're going l'chumra. The question is, what about l'kula? Like in our sugya, you're assuming that the person made the erva, and as a result I'm allowed to go outside my alpaya mama. I'm allowed to go outside my tchum. Do you say chazaka shliach oisa shlichusa even l'kula? So the halacha is, as it relates to divrei seifrim, yes, for the rabbanon chazaka shliach even as it relates to kulois, as it relates to the oraisa, that's the machlokes from Nachman Rav Sheishas. Rav Nachman said b'shal toire ein chazaka shliach oisa shlichusay, meaning lakula. Rav Sheishas said echad zeh ve'echad zeh. Doesn't matter if it's a deraisa or it's a derabanon. It doesn't matter if it's the chumra or if it's the kula. The halacha is always going to be chazaka shliach oisa shlichusay. But we need one more introduction just to appreciate the Gemara later. Again, based on what the Rishonim say in the course of explaining the sugya. And that is, what would be the shaila of chazaka shliach oisa shlichusay? So we know there are many chazakas. Throughout Shas, you have this chazaka, that chazaka. The Satmar Rav famously said that Bizmanenu, all the chazakas are bottled. He said the only chazaka that is still kayim is the chazaka ein adam pereya chayvei toichsmane. He said that Gemara says there's a chazaka that a person doesn't pay his chayves early. That chazaka you have today. He said other than that, all the chazakas are bottled. Ein adam meis panim neibal chayvei anechti gator. He said all the chazakas you don't have anymore. But there's different chazakas that appear throughout Shas. These are umdenes. These are assumptions that people they hold themselves to a certain ethical standard, and as a result, they're not going to cross certain boundaries. There's a chazaka that shliach oisah shlichus. But we're going to see in the course of the Gemara that this chazaka is not exclusive to shlichus. But the sight of this chazaka is that if Reuven goes over to Shimon and he tells Shimon, listen, I'm an upkeitanit, I can't go outside of the Tchum Shabbos, stating that I have a Shabbos Shever Brachas that I want to go to, it's a base mishta, can you please go make an Erev Tchum for me? So, should we assume Shimon did it, or should we assume Shimon didn't do it? So yeah, it's a question. You made him a shliach, does a shliach do it? No, but really, what the fundamental question is more than that. Is Shimon a chashud that Shimon is not going to make the Erev Tchumen, which will now cause Reuven to go and be nichshol in the Issa Tchumen? Or could we assume that Shimon is a good guy? He's an upkeit and a yid. And he would never put Reuven in that nichshol. That's really at the core of the shiloh of chazaka shliach chayseh shlichusai. Meaning on some level, for sure, chazaka shliach chayseh shlichusai. The question is, how far do we take it? Are we willing to take this chazaka on such a level that even by dinei d'oraisa, even as it relates to kulos, we're still going to say chazaka shliach chayseh shlichusai? So you're going to see the Gemara now is going to start bringing tashmas from halachas that have no shaykhas to shlichus. And Tosfos in the course of the Gemara is going to jump on these tashmas. And Tosfos says what we just spoke out. So again, it's kedai as the introduction to the Gemara that the principles underlying the shayla between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes were not exclusive to shlichus, as we're going to see in the course of the Gemara. So Amar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said that we say chazaka shliach chayseh shlichusai even by dinei d'oraisa. Even the kulisim. No, I mean, how do I know? So now we learned in the Mishnah, in the Sechtes Menaches, Misha Karav Ha'oimer. So once upon a time, there was a Karban Oimer. And the Karban Oimer was brought on Tez Zayin Nisan. The Karban Oimer was a Karban, but it was also a Matter. It was Matter, the Tfuah HaChadasha. You weren't allowed to eat Chadash before the Karban Oimer was brought. Chadash bizman hazeh, chutz laretz, that's a major shaila. But once upon a time, a yid that lived in Eretz Yisrael, when there was a base of mikdash, there wasn't a lot of confusion. The halacha was you weren't allowed to eat from the tfuah hachadasha until the carbon ayma was brought. Now, as soon as the carbon was brought, the halacha was you were allowed to eat the tfuah hachadasha. So zok the mishnah. Misha karva ayma, as soon as the ayma was brought, hutar hachadash miyad. Immediately you're allowed to eat it. The question is, what about people that lived far away from the Beis HaMikdash? They didn't have communication like we have today. So they had no idea if the Karban Oimer was brought. Says the Mishnah, Achidesh, Baruchikim, the people that lived far away, Mutar Mechatzayis Yom Ve'elach. Once Chatzayis came, the halacha is that they were allowed to eat from the Tvoah Chadasha. Because we're allowed to assume that the Kehanim probably brought the Karban Oimer, and as a result, you're allowed to eat it. Meaning, up until Chatzayis, you can't make this assumption. Once Chatzayis happens, it's going to be okay. So, Gemara, Chodesh Dayraisa. So, Rav Sheshes said, Chodesh is Dayraisa. Viktoni, Rechaikim, Mutarim, Chatzayis, Yom, Ve'elach. And you see, the Rechaikim are allowed already mutter from Chatzayis. Why? Lad Mishum, Chazaka, Shliach, Chayseh, Shlichusai. Probably because the assumption is that Chazaka, Shliach, Chayseh, Shlichusai. Who's the Shliach? The proverbial shliach, it's the kayhanim. The kayhanim have a job to do, and they understand that yidin are waiting for them. So chazaka shliach chayseh shlichusai, they're not going to put yidin in danger, in harm's way, and as a result, they're going to probably go ahead and do what needs to be done. Now, this is a dayraisa chadash, and it's l'kula, you're being matir chadash. So you see, chazaka shliach chayseh shlichusai, or at least the underlying svara, even for dayraisas, even for l'kulas, but the ones from Nachman, what's from Nachman, it's in husband, tani, tam, there it's different. Fisha yidin, she ain't bezdin, miss atzlan boy. You see, there was in the Beis HaMikdash, their Bezdin is playing a role. Oh, once there's a Tzad Bezdin, oh, there it's already different. I mean, it could be ordinarily, Reuven goes over to Shimon and he says, Shimon, do me a favor, you're heading in that direction anyways, will you please take care of my Erev Tchumen? There, whether you say Chazaka Shliach Chayseh Shlichusai, that's a different question. But over here, this is a Bezdin. Oh, Bezdin's involved. So over here, Avadi, it could be Mekal. Some say that Amar Rav Nachman, in fact, was the one that proved his halacha from this Mishnah. It wasn't Rav Sheshes is Toshma, and that Rav Nachman had to defend, but it was actually the reverse. Amar Rav Nachman, no, I mean the Lodiktani, time of the Fisher Yodin, Shein Bez Mesatzel Boy, Bez Mesatzel Boy, Bez Mesatzel Boy, Yoshlich Mesatzel Boy. Rav Nachman said just the opposite. It sounds a little bit to me that the reason it's okay over there is because they know that Bezin is not Mesatzel. Now, just to be clear, that line, Lefisha Yoidin Shein Bez the Misatzlan Boy, is Mefurish in the Mishnah Mesachdas Menachas. That's where Nachman was able to bring a raya from there. He said, doesn't it sound like that ordinarily there is no Chazaka Shliach Chayseh Shlichusai? But it's Tafka over there because there's Bezdin and there's a Svara that when it comes to Bezdin, we can rest assured they're going to take care of business. Rav Sheshes is going to say, I agree with you. Bezdin ad palga de yoyma. The reason the Mishnah over there said Bezdin is because the truth is the Mishnah is saying that already by Chatzos you could assume the Kehanim took care of business. That is only because of Bezdin. However, there's no raya from there that there's no chazaka shliach chayse shlichuse when there is no tzad bezdin, because it could be shliach as it relates to an ordinary shliach kula yoyim at the very least. If he has to take care of it today, chazaka shliach chayse shlichuse is going to take care of it today. Meaning, Rav Sheshet is telling Rav Nachman, I agree with you, Rav Nachman, that the Gemara did give a svara. This is in the Ikud Amri, and from that svara, it sounds a little bit like it's a bezdin diga zach. And if that's the case, you have a raya. Chazaka and shliach chayse shlichuse, because otherwise, why do you have to come at the bezdin? The teretz is because, yeah, there's a knetch over there that's related to bezdin. The fact that by chatzos you can assume it's done, that's bezdin related. But as it relates to whether or not you can assume chazaka and shliach chayse shlichuse, that for sure you would be able to. Either way, so the Gemara's first attempt at resolving this machlokes of Nachman Rav Sheshet from a Tanaic source was the Mishnah in Masechtas Menachos, two lashonos. In the first lashon, Rav Sheshet was the one that brought the raya. In the second lashon, it was Gar Rav Nachman that was the one that brought the raya. So clearly, if Rav Sheshet could bring it as a raya, and Rav Nachman could bring it as a raya, as it relates to us, there's no raya to be had. Because Rav Sheshet spun it his way, and Rav Nachman spun it his way. So, Rav Sheshet, no, I mean, I have another makar. Time to learn to the raya. So, Isha, she ate a lady, Iziva. A woman that had to bring a carbon because she had a baby. She's a Yoledes, and a Yoledes, when she finishes her Yomei Tumah, Yomei Taira, she had to bring a carbon. Iziva, or she was a Zava, they had to bring a carbon as well. Levia Mois. So, the halach is, she would bring her money, even Isenes Beshoifer, she would put it in the Shoifer. These were stations, pushkas that were set up in the Beis HaMikdash. She would put the money there. The toiveles, she'd go to the mikvah. And at night she was able to eat kachem. What's the chiddush? She doesn't know if the carbon was ever brought. And if the carbon wasn't brought, she's not allowed to eat kachem, because she's a mechusa kippurim. She needs the carbon to be brought in order for her to be able to eat kachem. Stating that, there's an assumption that if you deposited the funds in the shofar, this kohanim, they're going to take care of business. So Rav Sheshet said, my time, what do you see from it? So again, you see the principle of shliach chayse shlichusei. It's not mamish shliach chayse shlichusei. This woman never made anyone a shliach. But the point is, the aside that the Kehanim understand there's a woman somewhere that's relying on them to take care of business. That is the svar of Chazaka Shlichai Shlichuzai. The Gemara said, Rav Nachman, Hasim, Rav Shmaya. Then you can say, Rav Shmaya said, Rav Shmaya, Chazaka, Ein Bezin, Shal Kehanim, Oim, Demisham, Ad Sheyichlu, Kol, Moy, Shem, Shem. There was a special Chazaka over there that the Bezin, Shal Kehanim, didn't allow the Kehanim to not bring the Karbanas. Again, it's a special svar again in the Kehanim. In fact, it's a separate Chazaka. Chazaka, Ein Bezin, Shal Kehanim, Oim, Demisham, Ad Sheyichlu, Kol, Moy, Shem, Shem. That's why that is the halacha. Amar Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet said, Mino Aminullah, how do I know this halacha? Which halacha? That chazaka shliach oisa shlichusai, even by a deraisa, even lekula. The Tanya, from the following braisa, if somebody goes off to his friend and he tells him, say velakit lechotein betenasi, if you would like, you can go take figs from my fig tree. So the halacha is, oichel mehem arai. That if he wants, he can eat those te'enim achilas arai. Now, the assumption in the Gemara is going to be that these te'enim, number one, no one ever gave chumas a maestris from. Number two, you weren't even mechuyiv maybe yet to give chumas a maestris from them. Meaning, it wasn't nigmar melachton yet. And until the peri is 100% complete in terms of the processing of it, the halach is you're not even chayiv in chumas u maestris midday raisa. So being that you're not chayiv in chumas u maestris midday raisa, says the braisa, this person is allowed to take figs and he could eat an achilas aroi. And this is based on the halacha that if you have tevel that's not nigmar melachto yet, so that you're not chayiv yet in chumas u maestris midday raisa, even though you're not allowed to eat it yet midirabanon, but it's only an achilas kvade you're not allowed to eat, a more permanent meal, but an achilas aroi, that's something you're allowed to eat. This is an idea that comes up in many different sugyas ashas. However, u'ma'asron vada, if you're going to want to eat a proper meal, an achilas kva, then the halacha is you're going to have to give ma'isa. Ma'li l'chokal kolazeh. What would be if the person tells his friend, not say velakit l'chot te'enem mitte'en nasi. This is a subtlety, but it makes the whole difference in the sugya. But rather, he says, I want you to fill up this kilkola, take this basket, and fill it up with te'enem mitte'en nasi from my figs. So then the halacha is, oichel mehen aroi. You can eat an achilas aroi. U'ma'asr d'ma. You don't have to be ma'asr vadeh. Ma'aser vadeh means you certainly have to give ma'aser. Over here, you only have to give ma'aser as if it was demai. Meaning, it's only a suffix if you have to give ma'aser. And we know there's many coolers when it comes to demai. So over here, you can take a koyach datera and you can treat this te'enim as something that, yeah, on some level, you have to give ma'asers, but at the same time, only as demai. What's the difference between the two cases? In the first case, in the second case, he said, the difference is as follows. The difference is there is always a possibility from the standpoint of the person that's going to eat these figs, even though he knows that the Baal HaBos didn't give Trumas and Maisers from it yet, but maybe now that he told me to go ahead and take the Tainim, so maybe he doesn't want to be Machshel, so maybe now he's going to be Mafish Trumas and Maisers. You have a right to be suspicious that maybe that happened. Okay, so if you tell the person, go take Tainim, you don't put a number on it, so then we don't assume that the person gave Trumas and Maisers. You know why? Because he doesn't even know how much Trumas and Maisers to get. He doesn't know how much the person took for him to know what the Maiser is, for him to be able to be Mafresh. If, however, he said, Mali lecha kalkolozeh, he said, fill up this basket. Oh, now already he knows how much the person took. Oh, you know how much the person took. So if already you can make a cheshbin. So for that reason, you could assume that he gave, but you don't know for sure if he gave ma'aser. So therefore, the halach is ma'aser and demai. Zok tigemar. Important caveat. This is all true if the Baal HaBos, the one that owns these figs, is an amoretz. Avol b'chaver, if he's a Talmud Chacham, then the halach is oichel, the person that takes the te'enim. When he said Mali l'chok al kol hazeh is allowed to eat the figs, the einay tzarich la'aser, and he doesn't have to give ma'aser divrei Rabbi. Why? Because by an Am Haaretz, you have to assume maybe he gave Ma'aser. But when it comes to a Chavar, a Talmud Chacham, the Talmid Chachamim were much more careful when it came to Trumas and Ma'aseres. So over there, it's not a maybe. Over there, you could assume for sure that he gave the Ma'aser. I mean that you can assume for sure he gave the Ma'aser. So there, the halach is Oichel, the Enet Tzarech La'aser. You don't have to treat it as the Ma'i. Rav Shimon Gamliel, argues. He said, I agree with the first thing Rebbe said. Bamed Var Ma'amurim Ba'am Ma'aretz. Avol B'Chavar, meaning the halach of the Brice was talking dafke about an Am Haaretz. A Chavar is there. How's it different? Rebbe said a chaver is different by a chaver oichel ve'ne tzarech la'aser. Rav Shimon Gamliel said a chaver is einoy oichel ad she'yaser. No, a chaver is something else. A chaver you're not allowed to eat it at all. You can't even treat it as demai. You have to treat it as if it's 100% tevel. The reason is because over here I think the Talmud Chacham isn't for sure going to give ma'aser. Rav Shimon Gamliel said the Talmud Chacham is for sure not going to give ma'aser. The reason he's for sure not going to give ma'aser is because there's a halacha that you're not allowed to give ma'aser shleimen amukov. You have to make sure that if I'm being maser one peri for another peri, both peris are next to each other. And if they're not both in front of me, they're not next to each other, there's halacha. You're not allowed to be maser shalom and amukav. You just had it a few dafin ago. So there's such a concept. And so Shimon Gamliel said, yeah, I think there's a possibility that Tamaritz would be maser. But as it relates to the Talmud Chacham, there's no possibility. Omer Rebbe said, Nirin divrei, dvarei midivrei abba. I think I'm right. I don't think Abba's right. Shimon Gamliel was Rebbe's father. So he said, Nirin Dvarai Medivrei Abba. Why? Because Mutav Sheyechshu Chaverim Litrim Shalom and Amukov. Because I think it makes more sense for the Chaver to go ahead and be Torim Shalom and Amukov, be Torim from Paris and not next to him, Veloy Achilu Lami Aretz Tfalim, rather than go ahead and be Michael Ami Aretz Tfalim. So it's Kedai to get this Machloikis Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, because it's going to take us now for the next 20 or so lines. Again, we have a case where Reuven goes over to Shimon and he tells Shimon, if you want, you can go take some figs. He wasn't Ma'asa this fig yet. He says, go take figs. Says the Braisa, depending on what Lashon Reuven used when he told Shimon, go take figs. Did he say, take as many as you want? Meaning, or did he give him a kitzvah? He said, Mali kol kolazu. That's going to determine the halacha. If he just said, go take whatever you want. So then the assumption is that for sure he never gave ma'aser. There's no way we should assume he gave ma'aser. Stating that, being that it wasn't nigmar melachtan yet, let's assume that's the case. If he wants, he can eat an achila saroy. However, he can't eat an achilas kfar. If, however, he gave him a fixed amount, so now the Baal HaBos knows what he told his friend to take. So there the halacha is, if he wants to give ma'aser, he could give ma'aser, because he knows what the ma'aser is going to be. He has to give 10% of this kalkala. There's a cheshbon now. So there is a chance that maybe he gave ma'aser. So then the halacha is different. So then the halacha is that he can eat an achilas aroy. However, at the same time, if he wants to eat achilas kva, he would be ma'aser b'toiras demai. Meaning, now already there's a tzad that he has a right to reckon with, that maybe he actually gave ma'aser. Zeh de tanon, both Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Bamed var mamur ba'amaretz. This last halacha we just said is only true for dealing with an amaretz. If you're dealing with a chaver, it's going to be a different halacha. Oh, what's the different halacha if it's going to be a chaver? Rebbe saw it one way, and Rav Shimon Gamliel saw it literally the exact opposite. Rebbe said, if it's a Talmud Chacham, oichel v'nitzarech la'aser, then for sure, Talmud Chacham, about you can go ahead and eat it. He would never set you up. Talmud Chacham knows how much ma'aser has to be given. He's giving ma'aser. Shimon Gamliel said, just the opposite. Talmud Chacham, you run away from it. It's not even demai. Demai has kulas. You can't even treat it as not. You know why? Because the Talmud Chacham is never giving Ma'aser. Because it's Shalom and Amukov. You're never going to go ahead and give it Shalom and Amukov. So literally two ways of seeing it. And then Rebbe Firdois near in Dvar Rebbe Divrei Yav. But Zok Tigamar. I can't plead you. This whole machleik is over here. Is a machleik is over here of, in terms of what the understanding is that the Chavar is going to do. Aval Kuli Alma. Everybody seems to agree that Chazok and Shalom Chayis Shlechusay. Everybody agrees the Chavar is thinking. Everybody agrees that he's not setting you up. There's for sure some thought process going on. The question is, what is he going to do? Is he going to do it this way? Is he going to do it that way? Rebbe saw the world one way, and Reb Shimon Gamliel saw it otherwise. But says Reb Sheshes, what's the underlying principle? Chazaka shliach, what shaychus? What's that to do with a shliach? No, like we mentioned in the Akdama, chazaka shliach is based on a svara, and that svara the chayr would apply over here. So how's Rav Nachman going to be miyashiv this price? Rav Nachman hasim with Rav Chanina Chayza. That's a different halacha. Rav Chanina Chayza, chazaku al chavish any moitzu davish any besuk betachas yada. This is not based on a general chazaka shliach is shlichus. This is actually a more specific svara in the world of Shumas and Maestres, but there was a very strong chazaka that a chaver is not moitzu davish any besuk betachas yada, and this is what this is based. On, meaning very similar to what the Gemara said earlier with regards to the question with the Tomas Leda and the Ziva, where the Gemara said that the Chazak in that Gemara was related to a different Chazak, Reb Shmaya, who said Chazak ain't bezin shal kehanim oimdim misham achichel kol moish v'shoyv. Here too, it's a more specific Chazak. If Sheshes wanted to take from here a svara that would mamish apply to kol atayr kula, the Gemara says there's no such svara. Amar. So we mentioned this brisa parenthetically because Rav Sheshes brought this as his makar, that Chazaka Shliach Ois Shlichusa is true, even by Dairaises, even by Gulas. So the Gemara now is going to analyze this price. This halacha, we said, is only true by an Amaretz. Aval b'chaver, as it relates to a chaver, oichel, v'ein etzarech la'asef. A chaver tells you to go ahead and take food, we know for sure that he gave ma'aser. Divrei Rebbe. That's what Rebbe held. What Rav Shimon Gamliel held? But medvar mamur b'amaretz. But when it comes to a chaver, not for sure he gave ma'aser, but just the opposite. For sure he didn't give ma'aser. But either way, Zokhmer, hay amaretz. The Kamalei Lamai. So we're saying that the Akimta in the Braisa of Ha'imel L'Chaveri, go take Te'ena Mitei Nasi, and depending on what Lashon he used, that's going to determine the Halacha, is talking about when who's talking and Amma Aretz is talking. Okay, says the Gemara, who's the Amma Aretz talking to? Ilem, the Kamal Amma Aretz, Chaveri, is he talking to one of his Chaverim? Oichen Amma Aretz, Ma'asra and Demai? So you're telling him to give Ma'isa Mitzah, he's not going to listen to you anyway. So the whole Halacha, says the Gemara, I don't really understand. Amma Aretz doesn't listen to Chazal. Amma Aretz does what he wants to do. So if that's the case, the Halacha of Maestris usually was talking to the Chaver who's transacting maybe with an Amaretz, but it doesn't sound like we should be talking to the Amaretz. So the Gemara says, Ella, ba Amaretz, the Gamalei L'Chaver. Okay, probably an Amaretz, I was talking to a Chaver. So the Gemara, if that's the case, Ema Seifa. What did Rebbe say? Rebbe said, Ba Medvarmu Ba Amaretz. Avo Bechaver, the Halacha is going to be different. What's the Halacha? By a chaver, oichel ve'initzarech la'aser. Reb Shimon Gamliel argued, and then Rebbe said, "Near and dvarim divrei Abba." I think I'm right. Why? Because mutav sheyachshedu chaverim litrim shloim ben amukav v'lo yachilu la'amei ha'aretz tevalim. So what does it sound like? It sounds like you were talking to an amaretz. Near and dvarim divrei Abba. Mutav sheyachshedu chaverim litrim shloim ben amukav v'yachilu la'amei ha'aretz tevalim. Amei ha'aretz, my bayhas. What's that amaretz doing here? I thought we just said we're talking to a chaver, because otherwise we don't understand the brisa. Yet in the inference in the Dvar Mamurim in Rebbe's Egypta, suddenly Rebbe says, I'll tape Shana my Halacha, because the Chabad would never set up the Amma Aretz. Wait a minute, I thought we're not even dealing with an Amma Aretz. So what's Pashup Shak in terms of what's going on here? I mean, Rabbina, as Rabbina said, you have to say there's a chilik between the Reisha and what Rebbe was talking about. Reisha, the Braisa itself, the Reisha here means the Braisa. The Braisa itself is talking about Bama Aretz, Sha'amalacha. It's talking about an Amma Aretz that was talking to a Chavar. What did Rebbe say? Bamed Varam Amurim, an Amma Aretz that's talking to a Chavar. Again, why an Amma Aretz? Because otherwise Rebbe holds he would have given Meiser. Or otherwise Rav Shimon Gamliel holds he for sure wouldn't have given Meiser. He's talking to a Chavar because he's talking to an Amma Aretz. Why are we even having this discussion? That Amma Aretz is Mitzayis. He's not listening anyways. So the Reisha, meaning the Braisa itself, in the Ikimt of Rebbe and Rashbag, is where the Amma Aretz is talking to a chaver. Sefer, meaning what was the caveat? What did Rebbe say? That a medvar mamurim and Amma Aretz was talking to a chaver. However, if a chaver would tell an Amma Aretz, meaning in the inference, it's not talking 100% to what the price is talking about, but it's still a fair comment. So the medvar mamur comes again, Rebbe, and said that this halach is true. That's an amma aretz to a chaver. If, however, a chaver would tell an amma aretz the same exact thing, go take this kalkala and fill it up. The chaver achar shayma, and there was another chaver that was overheard this conversation. So now the chaver who does care about the halacha, the amma aretz is like tzayas, but the chaver that does care, so now he's allowed to start trying to psychoanalyze the situation. So what probably happened? Did this chaver give for sure? Or maybe not. Maybe he's term shalem and amukiv. And that's where you have the machlokes in Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Sava, Rabbi holds oysa chaver oichel. The chaver is allowed to eat it. They need tzarech laser. Why the vade yisurim aser? Because he for sure gave meiser. Hahu chaver kami love Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Let me just the opposite. Lo yoichel achias. He's not eating until he gives meiser. The vishalei nechshu chaverim litroim shalem and amukiv. V'amar le Rabbi. What did Rabbi tell his father? Mutav sheyechshu du chaverim litroim shalem and amukiv. Don't you think it makes sense for this person, this chaver, that he'll go and he'll be Torim Shalom and Amukov, not the biggest Aveira in the world. By the way, it's a Shiloh, whether it's an Issa de Reis or it's an Issa de Rabbanon. But Vayachilu Ameyar, it's Tvalim Tevel, is an Issa Chamura. It's a Chayiv Mises Bidei Shamayim. So as a result, doesn't that make more sense? Okay, so Rebbe saw it one way, Rav Shimon Gamliel saw it another way. What's the underlying machlokes? Rebbe Sava, Rebbe holds, Nichalei L'chaver D'Labed Hu Yisuri Kalila. A Talmud Chacham is going to make a Cheshbin and say, I would rather do a small Aveira, V'loi Li'ovid Amoritz Yisuri Rabba, and let not the Amoritz do a big Aveira. What's the small Aveira to be Torim Shalom and Amukov? What's the big Aveira Tevel? Shimon Gamliel Savar, no. Nichalei L'chaver D'Li'ovid Amoritz Yisuri Rabba. The Chaver would rather the Amoritz do a great Aveira of Iyu and him, let him be perfect. Afilu Yisuri Kelilo Loila Aved. That was the debate over here. Those were the two ways of seeing the world. We're going to get back to this shortly. Zok the Mishnah Vayit. Nasna Be'ilu Nama Somebody put his Erev in a tree. So again, you're planting your Erev Techum and you put it in a tree. How high up the tree? If it was 10 tvachim or higher, in a ruvei erev. L'matim yasar tvachim. If it's beneath 10 tvachim, a ruvei erev. Nasa v'bar, if you put it inside a pit, afilum amuk mei ha'amim, even if the pit is 100 amas deep, a ruvei erev, the loch is, it's going to be an erev. Yasir Rabchi bar Abba, v'ravasi, v'rova bar Nosan. So there were three amirom that were sitting together. Rabchi bar Abba, Rav Asi and Rav Bar Nosaf, Yosef Rav Nachman Gabayu, and they were sitting in the presence of Rav Nachman, and they were learning this Mishnah, and they were trying to understand this Mishnah, and they said as follows, Hai Ilon Dekoy Hecha. So again, the Mishnah said, could you put an Erev in a tree? Well, it depends. If it's Lemayla Me'asara Tvachim, no. If it's Lemata Me'asara Tvachim, yeah. So these Amiram were wondering out loud, this is what they were discussing in Dech Habura, where was this tree? If it was in a Rishos HaYachid, Mali Lamala, Mali Lamata, who cares? We're on the tree. It is in a Rishos HaYachid. Rishos HaYachid Oyla Adurakiya. It's the same Rishos HaYachid if it's Lamata Me'asar Tvachim as it is Lamaila Me'asar Tvachim. So it can't matter. I mean, 10 Tvachim is not a shmooze in a Rishos HaYachid. Valid the Kari Rishos HaRab. Oh, it's probably in a Rishos HaRab. Rishos HaRab is a halacha that the Rishos of the Rishos HaRab goes up to 10 Tvachim. On top of 10 Tvachim is already not a Rishos HaRab. Okay. So far, so good. The Mischav and Lishpa says the Gemara, where did they have in mind for the Erev to actually be? Okay, so we established L'chur, the trees in the Rishos HaRabim. So far, so good. Now, where in the Rishos HaRabim did you want this tree to be? Elam, the Mischav and Lishpa is L'mayla. Is it talking about where you wanted the tree to be L'mayla Me'asar Tvachim? So what's the problem? Why should it not be okay? Meaning you want to be koine shvisa l'mayla me'asar tvachim huvei ruvei b'makam echado. You and your Erev want to end up being in the same place. So what should be the issue? Meaning the Gemara is assuming that the reason this would be an issue is because if the tree is in a Rishos HaRabim and you want to be koine shvisa in the Rishos HaRabim and you put the Erev on a tree that's l'mayla me'asar tvachim, Rashi says it was also four tefachim wide. That's an important piece of information the Gemara didn't say, that Rashi adds. So it comes out that the tree is a Rishus HaYachid. If the tree is a Rishus HaYachid and you're in a Rishus HaRabim, how are you going to get Erev? You have no way of getting it. Because you're being kind of shvis on the foot of the tree. You're going to take it off the tree. You're going to be carrying from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. So you have no ability to get it. Okay, but that's good if you're being kind of shvis on the ground. But so the Gemara is trying to work this through. If you're being kind of shvis on the Maila, meaning you're going to be on the tree, so then what's the problem? You're not running into a tzar problem. The Gemara says, Ella, nischabim lishveis lamatas. You have to say it's talking about where you wanted to be lamata. It's on the tree. The tree's a rishus hayachid. Taking the muzzin shtei sudis, taking the erev is going to involve hoitzah. So that's a problem. That's in the spirit of all these halachas that we've been learning. Could a nazir use a glass of wine? Could an Yisrael use truma? Could you use demai? Right? All these different halachas where you're running into halachic issues for you to be able to access your Erev. So how does that impact the laws of Erev? So it's in that vein, the Gemara is a very gishmak. The tree was in a Rishos HaRabim. It's Dalid, Bayud. It's on top. It's now a Rishos HaYachid. You yourself are being Koine Shvisa in the Rishos HaRabim. That's why you have a problem. Right, the Gemara, but I don't understand. It sounds like that if it's Nischavim Lishbos, if you would be Lomatim HaSar HaTvachim, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said, "Lamatim yasar tefachim eruv eiruv." What's the kasha? If it's on the tree, v'akamishtamish be'ilon, it should still be a problem. Meaning, just like the hitzah issue is an issue, even when you don't have a hitzah problem, because it's lamatim yasar tefachim, you're going to end up not having to get involved in hitzah problems. But at the same time, you have to take it off the tree, and by taking it off the tree, you're being mishtamish be'ilon. So if you're being mishtamish be'ilon, so at the end of the day, it should maman of shach be a problem. The reason mishtamish be'ilon is not a problem because you have to say the Tanah Mishnah is going according to Rebbe. Rebbe, that's going to be discussed in greater detail in tomorrow's daf. But for now, what did Rebbe say? The Amar Kol Dover Shum Mishum Shvus LeGazru Ola Vein Hashmashas. Anything that the Chachamim said that is awesome midrabanon Bein Hashmashas, you don't have to worry about it. There's no iser to do isurei Shabbos derabanons during Bein Hashmashas. Bein Hashmashas is a time where it's a suffik yom, suffik lail. So Friday night Bein Hashmashas is a suffik. Is it Shabbos or is it not Shabbos? So to do deraisas, suffik deraisa v'adanish. But to do the rabbanons, that's already, according to Rebbe anyway, it's not a problem. It's a major machloikas. But Rebbe Shita is kol davar shum mishum shvus legazru olav Bein Hashmashas. So what? Erevin, it goes into effect Bein Hashmashas. So if I can access the food Bein Hashmashas, that's going to be a good Erev. If I can't access Bein Hashmashas, it's not going to be a problem. So to carry from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Bein Hashmashas, that's an issue that I said that Avada I can't do. But to be Mishtamish Be'ilam Bein Hashmashas, that's not a problem. So being that to be Mishtamish Be'ilam Bein Hashmashas, it's not a problem. So it's for that reason, it's going to be okay. Amud Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman heard all this. Meaning Yosef Rav Chia Bar Rabba, V'Rav Asi, V'Rav Bar Nosson. They were all sitting together, and they were saying this in the presence of Rav Nachman. And what did they essentially say? They made an akimt in the Mishnah. Then when the Mishnah says Nasu Be'ilon L'Mayla Me'Asar Etfachem Ein Eruv Ve'Eruv, what are we talking about? We're talking about where the tree was in a Rishus HaRabim, and the issue of the size of the tree or where exactly the Erev is runs into a Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim problem. It's a Hitzah problem. If you're going to need to come onto Hitzah to get your Erev, obviously it's not going to be an okay Erev. I Mamon of Shach, you have to be Mishnah. We're going according to Rav. So they had this whole schmooze, and the Gemara says Amdu Rav Nachman. Nachman turned to them and said, Yayasher, you're saying very good. And then he told them, V'chein Amar Shmuel, I was makabel this from my Rebbe Shmuel. Shmuel said the same thing. Amru Leisa, they told him, Pasri. Why? You also came out with this pshat? Like they were taking a bet that Rav Nachman was like mechadin to them. Inu feit the Gemara. What do you mean? Inu nami hachi kapas riba. The Rav Nachman was the Rebbe. So why would you think that the Rebbe didn't have the Gemara? Says no. Ela hachi amrulei. They told him kavisu lebe Gemara. They wanted to know, like, do you have this Messiah? Did you put this in the Gemara? Now Rav Nachman didn't write the Gemara, so you have to know exactly what this means. But he wanted to know, like, is this now part of the tradition? This is part of the Messiah. Amalei told him in Zok the Gemara. In fact, it marnami om Rav Nachman amashmul. We have this mefurish. Hacha beilon oimim b'shus harab maskin. The Mishnah is talking about whether Ilan was in Rishus HaRabim, Gavoya Asara, V'Rochiv Arba, V'Neschav and Lishba Islamato, V'Rebbe Hida Amar Koldova Shum Yishum Shvuz, like God through all of Bein Hashmashes, literally verbatim, everything that these three Amoyram said, excels, just one Ha'ara, as it relates to today's daf. And that is, the Gemara mentioned a machloikis between Rebbe and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. The context of the machloikis we went through during the daf, so we don't have to revisit. But the punchline of the machlokes was as follows. Rebbe Sava, Rebbe holds, Nichole lechover de la'avid hu isura kalila, v'loy la'avid am ha'oretz isura rabba. That a Talmud Chacham, who has an opportunity to be over a small iser, to accomplish that he will prevent an am ha'oretz from doing a big iser, is going to do it every day of the week. Nichole lechover de la'avid hu isura kalila. A chaver a Talmud Chacham is nichalei to do a small iser to prevent an amaretz from doing a big iser. Shimon Gamliel saw, Rav Shimon Gamliel said just the opposite. Nichalei lechaver de la'aved amaretz isura rabba. An amaretz would rather do an isura rabba. The iyu afilu isura kalila loyli of it. The context of the machloikis was trumas, maestris, figs. Complicated. But the punchline is very straightforward, and the punchline is very yisoyti. So the first question is, who do we paskin like? Do we paskin like Rebbe, or do we paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel? So just a little bit of klali apsak. We know, halacha k'rebi mechaver. Whenever there's a machloek between Rebbe and his chaverim, we always paskin like Rebbe. Stating that, the Rishonim say, that even though halacha k'rebi mechaveroi, however, mechaveroi miloi meraboi. So if Rebbe ever argued with one of his rabbeim, then the halacha wouldn't be that way. Who's Rebbe's bal plukta in this sugya? It's Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel was not only Rebbe's Rebbe, but he was also Rebbe's father. So if that's the case, muschol rishon, you would think the halacha should be like Rav Shimon Gamliel, not like Rebbe. Stating that the Rambam in Perek Yud and Hilchas Maestras, halacha Yud and his Yad Chazaka paskins like Rebbe. And it's for that reason the halacha goes down like Rebbe, that nichalei lechaver de laavid he is sura kalila v'loy leavid amaretz isura rabba. Aye, what happened to the cloud that halacha k'rebi mechaveroi v'loy meraboi? So the achroinim and the rishonim talk about it. But the point is halacha l'mayis as it relates to our sugya, we paskin like Rebbe regarding the ikimta b'medvar mamurim ba'amaretz, but a chaver is different. But in terms of the underlying principle, the punchline, this is something we can take with us, and that is we paskin. It's okay. It's actually a good thing. Let the Talmud Chacham be over the Isser to be Torim Shaloymen Hamukov. Why? To prevent Amoritz from going ahead and doing a big Aveir. Tosfos, right here in the Sugya, and Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, and in other places in Shas as well, asks what would seem to be a blatant head-on stira from this Gemara that we just learned to another Gemara. A Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara over there was discussing a Yid who, by mistake, put bread inside an oven on Shabbos. Hid big pas betana. He did it by mistake. Now, once upon a time, in the times of Chazal, removing bread from an oven on Shabbos revolved in Issa d'Rabbanan. It was what's known as Rediyas HaPas. It involved in Issa d'Rabbanan. Here's the Shiloh. Reuven accidentally put bread or dough inside a tanner on Shabbos. The dough is going to bake. It's going to turn into bread. It's going to come out that Reuven violated one of the Lamentes Malachas, the Malach of Oif. Now, he did it for Shoigig, but even a Shoigig has to bring a Karben Chatas. He needs a Kapar. Shimon was walking by, and Shimon sees what happened. Shimon has the ability now to take the dough out of the oven before it bakes to prevent Reuven from ever violating the malacha of Oifa. So the question is, should Shimon do this or should Shimon not do this? Says the Gemara, quote, V'chi oimrim loy lo'odim chatei k'dei she'ezakei chavercha. Of course Shimon's not supposed to do it. Because is it okay to tell Shimon to go ahead and do an Aveira to prevent Reuven from doing an Aveira? Now, if Shimon doesn't help Reuven, Reuven's going to end up being Michal Shabbos, or be a Peshoiki. If Shimon does help Reuven, Shimon is going to violate an Issa d'Rabbanan of Rediyas HaPas. So there's no question in terms of what's more chomer, Chil Shabbos, even B'Shoigig, is more chomer than Rediyas HaPas. But stating that, the Gemara says it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that one is an Isura Kalila and the other one is an Isura Rabba. At the end of the day, V'chi Oymim Loi Lo'odim Chatei K'dei She'ezaki Chavercha, you never tell a person go ahead and do an Aveira to help somebody else out. Frey Toises, if that's the case, have a steer between the two Gemaras. In our Gemara, we have Rebbe Shita, that Rebbe holds Nichalei lechaver de laavet he isura kalila v'loy laavet amaretz isura rabba. And here we have a Gemara that says literally the antithesis. V'chi oimrim loy laadam chadei k'dei she'ezakei chavercha. And Tosfos says doesn't sound like these two sugyas are talking to each other. There's no mention in Shabbos Daf Dalet Amud Aleph of this machloikis between Rebbe and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And there's no mention over here in Erev and Daf Lamed Beis of that sugya in Shabbos Daf Dalet that talks about hidbik pas betaner. For Tosfos, this would seem to be two sugyas that are discussing the same fundamental principle. In our Gemara, Erevin, Daf Lamed Beis, it's Machlokes Rebbe, Reb Shimon Gamliel, and in the Sugya of Shabbos, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, it's a very simple, straightforward, one-liner. So Tosfos says you have to say that the two sugyas are chalak. And in fact, Tosfos by us here in Erev and Daf Lamed Beis says two terutzim. Tosfos in Shabbos Daf Dalem and Aleph says three terutzim. If you take a look at the Ritva in our Gemara right here, it's in Arichos. And the Rishonim throughout Shas say different svaras to try to be miyash of this kasha. We'll just mention a few of Tosfos terutzim. Tosfos says one teretz. Maybe very simple, is in our Gemara what happened. In our Gemara, there was a Yid, a Talmud Chacham, who told his friend, an Amma Aretz, he said, go take Te'enim. Now he knows that the Amma Aretz may not give Meiser. As a result, he now has this dilemma. Should he go ahead and quickly give Meiser? The problem with Shalem and Amukuf. But then again, he may have just been Machshel, his friend, because his friend may go ahead now, and his friend may be Nichshel in the Issa Tevel. He's the one that set up the situation. The chaver is the one that caused the problem. Without the chaver, there's no issue. In the Gemara, in Masech, the Shabbos, Aftalam and Aleph, Reuven was baking on Shabbos. Shimon walked by very innocently and he sees what's going on. Shimon didn't set Reuven up. He had nothing to do with the Hidbik Bas Bataner. He didn't play any role. He's not complicit in any way, shape, or form. He didn't aid or abet it. He just happened to walk by and he sees an opportunity to go bail somebody out. Says Tosfos, if the chaver was involved, he set the whole thing up. The Gemara Masech the Shabbos had nothing to do with it. Oh yeah, nothing to do with it. Over there, it's going to be different. The Inami says Tosfos. Maybe you could say another chiluk between the two sugyas. In the Gemara Masech the Shabbos, the person that put bread in an oven on Shabbos was Pesheya. Now, granted, he was a shoygig, he wasn't amazing, but at the same time, he was negligent because he should have been more careful. Every shoygig brings a carbon, and some that. Well, sometimes. But you find the concept of a shoygig needing kapara. Why isn't he kapara? I was a shoygig. The Teretz says, yeah, I understand. You didn't do it maliciously. But there's something called negligence. There's something called not being careful enough. So every shoygig needs kapara. And the reason he needs kapara is because at the end of the day, there's an element of pshia. In the Gemara, Masech, the Shabbos, Taftalan, and Aleph, Hidvik Pas Batana, the person was a pesheya. And being that it was a pesheya, over there, we don't go ahead and bail out a pesheya. In our Gemara, in Erevin, this Amma Aretz, who's going to go ahead and eat the peiris, wasn't necessarily Pesheya, because maybe the reason he's going to eat the peiros, not just maybe, presumably, is because he assumes you walk into a shiny Yid's house, he serves you dinner, you assume that you don't have to be, stop being mafresh trumas and maestres. You don't think you have to start go kashering the meat, right? It's fair to assume that you're sitting in a kosher kitchen and the food that you're being presented with is kosher. So this person wasn't Pesheya, and the Chavir knows that. And that's good for why the Chavir is starting to get paranoid. And that's why Rebbe said he's going to go ahead, and I think he should be maaser, even Shalom and Amukav, it's the right thing to do. But here's the bottom line. The bottom line is when someone's a plesheya, this is the Yisoid, then there's a halacha of chi oimim la'odin chatei kadei shiyazaki chaver. We don't bail out a plesheya. In our Gemara, Erev and Aflam and Beis, where Rebbe said, nichalei l'chavad alavadu yisuri kliv le'lavad amaris yisuri rabba. Over here, it's a question of not a plesheya. Oh, it's not a shayla of a plesheya. Over here, it's going to be different. Tosfos in Masech Shabbos, Daftal and Aleph says a third teretz. He brings the shame de riva that it could be the chilek is in that Gemara Masech Shabbos, the deed was already done. The person took the bread, he put it into an oven. It's done already. So by you going and taking it out, you would be undoing what was happening. But you're not preventing something from happening, because from the Maisa perspective, what was done was done. There the halach is, in our Gemara, the Talmud Chacham, the Chaver told Amma Aretz, go take figs. Before the Amma Aretz has the ability to eat the figs, the Chaver has the ability to go and save him. So over there, you would be preventing the Avera. As the revolt, you're preventing the Avera. Maybe over there, it's going to be different. I'm just trying to bring out one point. And that is that there's many terutzim and there's many svaras and there's many chalukim that you could say to answer this question. But one thing is klar, and that is there's an often quoted Gemara Masech the Shabbos Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, but the Gemara says v'chi oimrim la'adam chatei kedei sheyizakeh chavercha. The rest of the story is that there's another Gemara that's not as often quoted, and that's in Erev and Daf Lamed Beis, where Rebbe says, Nichalei l'chavir de l'avad hiu isura kalila v'loi l'avad amaret isura. And the Rambam paskins like Rebbe, even though it's a chiddush that he paskins like Rebbe. But the bottom line is, the halacha psuk in the Rambam Ziyad Chazaka is like Rebbe. And at first glance, these two Gemaras would seem to blatantly contradict each other. I mean, literally, one Gemara doesn't seem to be talking to the other Gemara. Because on the one hand, we don't tell a person to do a small avera to bail somebody else out. Yet over here, you have a mafurish Gemara where we do tell a person to go ahead and do that. The bottom line is that any time a person finds himself in this kind of situation, so he has to ask himself the question, is this a situation that falls into the sugya of Shabbos Daf Dalet Amud Aleph? Or is this a situation that falls into the sugya of Erev and Daf Lamed Beis? And really, what is it going to depend on? It's going to depend on all the different svaras that the Rishonim said. I mean, good luck. It's not an easy situation to figure out. But the bottom line is that you have two sugyas that clearly contradict each other. It's dvarim ha'imdim beruma shaloi mamish, and you have to know in every situation, do I apply Shabbos Daf Dalet or do I apply Erev and Daf Lamed Beis? So just to end with the beginning of a discussion that Be'ezus Hashem will do a part two to, and that is one tshuva from one of the Gedolei Olam of the previous generation, just to show how he tackled this kind of situation, and just to bring it lamata me'asar etvachem, bring it a little bit halacha l'maisa. That is a tshuva in the Shailos HaTshuvas Chelkis Yaakov. It's in Yoredeya, it's Simen Nun Vav, and this is of course from the Goyra Mordechai Yaakov Breish, who was a Rav in Zurich, Switzerland. So the question that was sent to Rav Breish was from New York, and he was asked the following question. So apparently there was a rabbi who oversees a Misrad HaRabonus in New York City, and one of the things he does is he officiates weddings. So it seems that he was out of town, and while he was out of town, a couple came, and they went to the office, and they said they would like this rabbi, his name was Rabbi Young, Rabbi Elio Young, and they would like him to officiate their wedding. So they fill out a questionnaire, there's some basic information you have to have before you agree to officiate a wedding, and it turned out that this woman had been married previously. She had gotten divorced. Problem is that the Bezdin that oversaw her divorce was a Reform Bezdin, which means that from a halachic perspective, this woman's an Eish HaSesh. Now, to add insult to injury, the Chassin, meaning Chassan Denan, this person that's coming to get married right now, is a Kayin. Meaning, so even had she been divorced, she'd be a crucial Kayin. So this application was dead on arrival. Number one, she's an Eish HaSesh. And number two, even if we can finagle somehow that she would become a Grusha, she's supposed to be married to a Kayin. So based on that, there's no way for this Rabbi Young to officiate the wedding. Stating that, he had a little bit of a shiloh. Because this couple assumed for sure that the rabbi was going to agree to officiate the wedding. So in their mind, they had a date for a chasana. They printed invitations. They already sent the invitations out. It's happening in a certain hall. This rabbi just so happens to be the rabbi of that hall. And nothing is going to happen in that hall without his consent. So he had a little bit of an idea. He went over to this couple and he told them, you realize there's no way I can allow this marriage to take place. I can't officiate it. I mean, this is certainly not Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. There's nothing I can do. Not just that, I'm not even going to allow it to happen in the hall. Now, they started kicking and screaming. What do you mean? We already sent out invitations. It's going to be very difficult to, on a whim, suddenly change the location. You know, 2020, this seems to happen. But once upon a time, this was not the way things were done, like 6 months ago. So as a result, we already set a date that for the chasana. We have a location. This is where it has to happen. So if this is where it has to happen, there's nothing I can do. So he said, you know what? I'll make a deal with you. Here's the deal. If you agree, I agree. The deal was, if you can go back to your first husband and get a proper get, and do this get in a regular kosher Beis Din, then I would be willing to officiate the wedding inside this hall. What was the svara? The svara was that as much as once she gets a proper get, she's going to be a grusha, and a grusha is not allowed to marry a kayin, but at the same time, in his mind, he thought that this was a good deal. Because if she's going to get a get, at least she won't be an Eish HaSesh. And in the world of chomer and kal, Eish HaSesh is the Chayvi Krisos, a child that's born from an Eish HaSesh is a mamzer. This is a question of Chayvi Lavin. Yeah, so of course this is terrible. This is like bad and worse. But at the same time, there is a concept of a more chamariser and a less chamariser. See, he wasn't sure what to do. He wasn't sure if this was a cheshman or wasn't a cheshman. He set all the pieces in motion, but he wasn't going to go forward with it without a psak from an Adam Gadol. And he sent the shaila to Switzerland. He sent the shaila to Rav Breish. And this was the shaila. Lamdenu Rabbeinu, what am I supposed to do? And Rav Breish wrote a tshuva to go through the situation. It's a beautiful tshuva. And the muschul rishon that Rav Breish said is that if you think about it, you actually have a very unique situation. And that is, we know that halacha is that you're not allowed to be machshel somebody to do an avera. You're not allowed to put a person in harm's way as it relates to an avera. If somebody causes someone else to do an avera, he's over in isa de raisa, he's over lifnei iver, Stating that the only time a person is over lifnei iver lo yisitei michshol is if the only way this person that you are machshel would do the avera is because of the fact that you are machshel. So the Gemara's example is if somebody gives a glass of wine to a nazir, and this is the only glass of nazir, only glass of wine that the nazir has. It's koy betray avri dinahara. So then the loch is you're over lifnei iver lo yisitei michshol. If, however, this nazir is sitting at a party and he's surrounded by wine, and you happen to pass him a glass of wine, so the Gemara says you're not over lifnei iver lo yisitei michshol. You're only over lifnei iver lo yisitei michshol if you actually cause him to do the avera. But if this person would do the avera anyways, so in that case you're not over lifnei iver lo yisitei michshol. Stating that, there's another halacha that's called misayeya l'dvar avera, and the halacha misayeya l'dvar avera states that you're not allowed to help facilitate someone to do an avera, even if this person would do an avera without you, even if this nazir is sitting where there's a lot of wine, it's flowing. But at the same time, if you pour him a glass, the halacha is, even though you are an over an isadei raisa, but at the same time you were over the isa misayeya. So Rabbi said, let's think this through together. There's two averas over here that are happening. One avera that's happening is the avera of Eshes Ish, right? This woman's an Eshes Ish. The other avera is the avera of a grusha going ahead and marrying a kohen. What are you suggesting that maybe you should do? You're suggesting allow the chasana to happen in your hall. You're going to fardin the bizyonis that this couple is going to have by virtue of the fact that they're going to have to start sending out new invitations. It's not something that they want to do. And what you're going to accomplish is you're going to accomplish asishness. Why shouldn't you do it? Because how could you facilitate? How could you facilitate a koyim marrying a grusha? So Rav Reish said, let's be honest, this couple's going to get married. They're either going to get married in your hall, or they're going to end up getting married in some other hall. So from the koyim grusha perspective, this is happening anyways. Being that it's happening anyways, the worst avera that you're doing is you're being misayeya, an over avera. Again, the avera is happening regardless. But what you're doing is you're being misayeya, an over avera. That's essentially what you're doing, which is a problem. It's an issur d'rabbanan. But just to be clear of what's at stake over here, said Rav Reish, but at the same time, if you don't get involved, if you don't intervene, and you don't maybe try to get this couple and this woman to get a proper get from her first husband, you know what you're doing? You're being over lifnei iver lo yisitei michshol. You know why it's lifnei iver lo yisitei michshol? Because I don't know if there's a chance ever that this woman is going to get a proper get. This is the one opportunity. And if you don't do it, it's literally the one chance that she had. It's like taking the nazir who doesn't have any wine and pouring him a glass of wine. That's the lifnei iver lo yisitei michshol under the iraisa level. So said Rav Reish, to me, this is the shaila. The shaila is, should you be over lifnei iver lo yisitei michshol? Or should you be over the issa of being misayeh ledvar avera? Should you tell the couple, no, I'm not getting involved in this chasana? You know what's going to happen? In that case, you may have just been the reason that a person's going to end up marrying an Eshes Ish. And being that you may be the reason a person's marrying an Eshes Ish, so it's going to come out that it's on your cheshbon. By the way, he discusses whether there's lifnei iver lo yisitei michshol v'shev al taisa, right? You're not the one that caused this. You're just not preventing it. That's a major shaila. But he says, assuming that there's a lifnei iver lo yisitei michshol issue by going ahead, even b'shev al taisa, which is the worst case scenario. But so over there, you have a lifnei iver. I understand that. The flip side is you have the misayeya l'dvar avera, which is only an issa d'rabbanan. It's the question of the issa d'rabbanan. So he said, I think it's pasha to me that from that standpoint, you should allow the wedding to take place. You should be a misayeya l'dvar avera because you're going to fadin the lifnei iver l'yisitei michshol, which is the issa d'iraisa, which that's something, meaning you could prevent the Eshes Ish. You can't prevent the Koyim marrying the Grusha. So it makes sense that this is what you should end up doing. Let it happen on your watch rather than go ahead and tell them to go get married someplace else where it's going to come out that on some level you caused an Eshes Ish to go ahead and marry a Yid. Another thing that he said was that there's a Shita Sashach. This is very important. Halacha L'maisa. There's a Shita from the Shach that says that a Mummer, if there's a person that does averis and he doesn't care about Torah mitzvahs, could be there's no messiah at all. Now, as it relates to lifnei iver lo yisitei michshol, that you have even by a mummer. The Gemara says you're not allowed to give even an achai to a ben noyach because you're over lifnei iver lo yisitei michshol. Even if any yehudim, you have a lifnei iver lo yisitei michshol. But when it comes to a mummer, and it comes to misayeya, there is a shita sashach that says that there's no misayeya when it comes to a mummer. So if there's no misayeya when it comes to a mummer, so you have another cheshbon, said Rav Reish. that the lifnei v'lo yisita michshol, that you for sure have, even though this couple is seemingly mumarim, but at the same time, it doesn't matter. Lifnei v'lo you have even by a mumar. As it relates to be misayeh l'dvar avera, that's already going to be different, and being that it's going to be different, so he told him, I think you should certainly be misayeh. But then Reb Reish said that the truth is, this halacha is not such a hard halacha to me. He said the reason is because at the end of the day, Mamanashach the Rav's role was going to be passive. He wasn't officiating the wedding. He was just going to allow the wedding to happen in this hall, right? He wasn't going to officiate the wedding. He was just going to allow the wedding to happen in his hall. So everything you're doing is anyways b'shev al taisa. So it's a question of lifnei even b'shev al taisa. It's a question of misayeh or b'shev al taisa. Lifnei is a deraisa. Misayeh is only the rabbanon. It's a shayla of you have the shach that you could always be mitzdarif, that maybe by a moment there's no misayeh anyways. So the svar is to lahakil. He said, what would be if it was b'kum v'aseh? What would be if you officiating the wedding would now allow this couple to go ahead and get divorced? So you're going to officiate the wedding, which means you're going to be misayeh in a kum v'aseh way, but on the condition that this woman is going to get a get from her first husband. So says Reb Reish, that's also possible, is going to be okay. And he said, you know what? It's really Tolian. It's Tolian as two sugyas in Shas. It's Tolian in Gemara Masechtas Shabbos Daf Dalin, and it's Tolian in Gemara Masechtas Erevin Daf Lamed Beis. Just to see how these Gemaras play out in the real world. Shabbos Daf Dalin, the Gemara said, "V'chi oynim la'adam chadei kadei sheyazaka chavercha." In Erevin Daf Lamed Beis, the Gemara said, "Nichalei lechaver de la'abed hu yisuri kalila v'loy la'abed ama'aretz yisuri rabba." And really, the Rishonim said that the two Gemaras contradict each other, right? They seem to blatantly contradict each other. See, so what's the bottom line? What are we passing like? I mean, meaning, we have a bunch of terutzim in the Rishonim. So which teretz is supposed to rule the day? Right, we spoke out three terutzim that Tosfos says. The Rishonim say even more terutzim. So which teretz is the bottom line? So he said, the truth is, it's a Mefurash Magen Avram. The Magen Avram is in Erechaim, it's in Hilcha Shabbos, it's in Simin Reish Nun Dalet, it's Sif Kotten Chaf Aleph. Just read to you one excerpt. Says the Magen Avram, Ein Oimrim Loi La'odim Chadei Kal, Bishvil Shalai Yasach Averch Isra Chomer, Kimin Shalai Naso Isra Yodoi, Vegam Chaveroi Pasha Behidbik, says the Magen Avram, ube'emes ha'ikr talui be'impasha. He says, you want to know what the bottom line is? When do I apply Shabbos Daf Dalet? When do I apply Erev and Daf Lamed Beis? You know what it depends on? It depends on one thing. Ube'emes ha'ikr talui be'impasha. Says, it's a Magen Avram. He gave us a hirah l'doiris. He said, you always have to look at Pshia. Was there Pshia? Was there no Pshia? If there was Pshia, then you're going to run to Shabbos Daf Dalet. If there was no Pshia, you want to bail out a person, Nebuch, he wasn't Paisheya, so then you run to Erev in the Flamed Beis. Then you pull out Rebbe's Halacha. What does it depend on? It depends on Pshia. So he said, if that's the case, Reb Reish said, so I can't really help you in this case, because this person was Paisheya, obviously. This couple, they're Paishim. They don't seem to care too much. So if they're Paishim, so based on that, it should be a problem. But he said that Matzasi, he says, I found the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim is also in Hilcha Shabbos. It's in Simon Shinvav. It's in the Mishpat Zoizav. Says the Prima Gadim, Ayinel Yerabba Uislam and Gimel. Be Issid the Rabbanon Yesh Lahakala Filu Bepshia. Abba Veloy Beisurei Taira. Says the Prima Gadim, that even though it's true, there's a Magen Avram. That the Magen Avram said that what's the MS? What is it always Talian? It's always Talian Shia. But at the same time, you know when it's always going to be Talian Shia? It's going to be Talian Shia when it comes to Issa Deiraisa. With the Issa you're going to do, the person doing the bailout is doing an Issa Deiraisa. But if he's doing an Issa Deirabanan, then already can be Mekel. See, so what's the Pshat? He said, it's Pasha to me what the Pshat and Dal Yerab is. Because really, there were other Terutzim that the Rishonim said. Yeah, the Magen Avram said the Iker is Toysfus Teretz of Pasha Aloy Pasha. So yeah, for Deiraisas, that's what we name on the Iker Teretz. But anytime there's Makom Lahakel, for example, you're going to do an Issa Rabbanan and you're going to help someone out from an Issa Deiraisa, so then there's no question, that's what you're going to do. So the bottom line is, everyone knows the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Dalet. V'chi oimrim la'adam chadei kadei sheyazaka chavercha. In Erev and Daf Lamed Beis, what we have is the rest of the story. We have another Gemara. And it's a Gemara that says, a one-liner that the Rambam paskens in Ilchas Maestris, that's literally the antithesis of that one line. Nichalei l'chaber del'avid hu yisuri kalila v'loy la'avid ha'ma'aretz yisuri rabba. It's mamish the antithesis of the two Gemaras. When do you know which one to pasken like? It's the Rishonim's Kasha, Toisvus, and the Rishonim say several terutzim. Says in Simon Reishman Dalet that what's the Iker Teretz? Reishnun Dalet. The Iker Teretz is Pasha. That's what it's telling you. It's stating that there's a Mishpat Zayzav, a Prima Gadim, a Simon Shinvav, that brings an Al Yerabba, that says if the Avera you're going to do is an Avera Derabbanan, this is something you can be Soymech on. If you go through Tshuva Svarim from Gedolei Yisrael, this was a halacha that was applied very, very often. Sometimes they applied Shabbos Daf Dalet. Sometimes they applied Erev and Daf Lamed Beis.